We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Paul and Jordana, thank you for tuning in Thursday. Hope your Thursday is going well. We appreciate being part of your information diet. And when you can't listen on the traditional radio, you've got those smart speakers at home. Real easy to set those up. Radio.com. If you missed the interview with Ellie Zweigbaum, her son Jacob, who's 19, has coronavirus. And she had just a riveting interview in the previous hour. Go to radio.com, dial up CCO, and use the rewind function. It's like a VCR. You can call it up, and you have to hear it for yourself. It is incredible. Thankfully, Minnesota Nice is really proving to be the case here with this infection with COVID-19. Zachary Quinn, co-CEO of Love Your Melon. This is an apparel brand dedicated to making a meaningful impact in the lives of kids who are battling cancer. Now, Zachary founded Love Your Melon back in 2012 with a simple mission: to put a smile on the face of every kid in the United States battling cancer through the gift of a warm beanie. But now he's pivoting in the age of pandemic to come up with masks. And we are so, so happy to have Zachary Quinn with us today on CCO. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having me.
It's going well. Tell us the creation story first of Love Your Melon. How did that get going back in 2012? What was the inspiration for that?
You know, we started our company as a class project at the University of St. Thomas. We were in an entrepreneurship program, and we needed to start a business for it. And we really wanted to do something to help out and be philanthropic. We knew that we were just going to, at that time, just do it for the semester, and didn't know where it would take us. So we started making these nice warm hats. We were actually making them out in Portland, Oregon. And then we, eventually started moving them here. We make most of our hats here in Minnesota, about 750,000 of them a year. But we started as a one-for-one program to give away a hat to a child battling cancer for everyone we sold, because they'd lose their hair to cancer treatment. And we wanted to give one hat away for everyone we sold, and we thought they'd need it most. Through talking to the children's hospitals, we found out that people were making these hats, hand sewing them, hand knitting them for the kids. And they weren't all universal, and the kids didn't always get the colors they wanted. They certainly didn't have a brand behind them. And that's how we came up with the idea to make Love Your Melon, this community of people purchasing products that all support these kids and families that are going through a really tough time.
Wow. Well, Zach, we love it in my house. Everybody's got a Love Your Melon hat. I think everybody has multiple Love Your Melon hats in my house. So we've been to the store down on Washington. So we are grateful to count you amongst our Minnesota entrepreneurs that have been so successful. So tell us about the shift now. You guys make hats, you make beanies, you make fun, cute things with a philanthropic twist. How are you shifting now? And it's my understanding you are donating 50,000 masks. How is that happening?
It's actually really interesting because it's tied into where we started, because we spend so much time working with these hospitals to deliver our beanies. So as soon as this pandemic started, we were hearing about all these restrictions on visitors and not being able to go into the hospitals to help these kids. So our initial idea was, okay, we got to somehow get superheroes and beanies and all this stuff, books and Legos and things, to these kids in the hospital. And so we started sending out these care packages, so the doctors and nurses can wear the superhero costumes and deliver the beanies. But then as we're talking to these hospitals and figuring out what they need most, hearing about the need for masks and having places in the country where they're wearing bandanas or homemade masks and they don't have something to wear to protect themselves, we knew that we had to transition. And it's actually a pretty similar way to how we started, is in then kind of creating this brand behind these masks. And we launched them all online tomorrow to the public. The first 50,000 masks we're able to fund ourselves that we're giving to children battling cancer and their families. But then after that, we need the public support in purchasing them. We're doing them at extremely low cost, and every one sold is a buy one, give one. So we'll be giving away a mask for every one sold.
It's so cool, Zachary, how you're paying it forward, and you're experiencing great success, and you're passing that success on to others. And I just really salute you and applaud your efforts. You've got a great team. And I understand these masks are not your typical masks. These are pretty fancy, right?
Well, we have a variety of masks that we've been working on here. And I just want to say, I know how scary these times can be, and I know there's so many good people trying to do what they can. And we've got a lot of great people, whether it's our manufacturers on board to do this or mHealth Fairview, like the Masonic Children's Hospital. They've come together with us to create this really amazing new design using their surgical wrap. Because a cotton mask is one thing, but if we can make a mask that can provide the level of protection that a surgical mask can make, it's even better. And so we're not making any claims to this right now. We're in testing, but we're taking the surgical wrap that they use in operating rooms and then cutting it and sewing it into masks, as well as just die cutting these with this cool new design that just has ear slots on it that they can use to wear for their protection, whether it's on its own or over another mask of like an N95 or a surgical mask to keep those protected as well. And so we're finding...
So Zach, just to be clear, is it for healthcare workers or for regular folks?
For everybody. Primarily, okay. Healthcare workers are getting these die-cut masks because our biggest problem here is the cut and sew time, is how many masks can we make a day, which is probably about 10, 15,000 that we have to cut and sew. And that's using all of our capacity right now. So we designed with mHealth Fairview this new mask that just needs to be die-cut. If you go on our website, you can see it. It's got a cool design. And it's got three ear slots on either side, so you can size it to your head. And those masks, we've got hundreds of thousands of orders for them in the last couple of days already since we launched them. And those will be going out to medical facilities. mHealth will have 50,000 of them here next week to start using. And they'll be using those as they run low on surgical masks, as well as in other places around the country where they have nothing to wear but bandanas.
Now, Zach, we're out of time, but people can go to loveyourmelon.com.
Yes, absolutely. Hope everybody's doing well, and thank you so much, you guys.
No, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. We were talking to Zachary Quinn, the co-CEO and founder of Love Your Melon, on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Paul, another testament to Minnesota creativity and ingenuity and the spirit of philanthropy. It's wonderful. When we return, we will be right back on CCO.
Yeah, we're all a little unwell here as we hunker down in our homes, as we worry about our businesses, fret about our jobs, fret about the economy. Bill O'Reilly, I don't know if you were watching or...
I was not, really. You think I was...
Bill O'Reilly told Sean Hannity yesterday that many people who are dying of coronavirus... were on their last legs anyway. I wonder if he kisses his mother with that mouth.
We know that's not true, right?
Well, look, if you have underlying conditions, yes, you are more susceptible to a bad outcome. But look, we just spent, 45 minutes on the air, 3 to 3:45, talking to a mom with a 19-year-old, a perfect, healthy 19-year-old who has been knocked on his butt for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So this notion that it's only, older people or people with physical conditions. So, and Tucker Carlson, he tried to make the case last night. He showed a graphic, and this was on Fox News, I watch so you don't have to. He said, drug overdoses claim 67,000 lives every year. Suicide, 50,000. Alcohol abuse, 88,000. Diabetes, 83,000. Cancer, 606,000 Americans lost to cancer every year. And again, I think try to make the case, the hand-waving argument that, oh, we don't shut down the whole economy because 600,000 people die of cancer every year. And now that the numbers are coming down and Minnesotans and Americans are actually listening to the scientists and staying home to flatten the curve, now it's going to be, hey, it wasn't so bad. You know, look at the hit we took in the economy, and it was only 30,000 or 50,000 or 70,000 lives. But God forbid it's one of their aunts or sisters. You know, it hits home when it hits home. And I think most of us will be, when this is all done, Jor, and I pray it sooner rather than later, most of us will be able to say, yeah, I have a friend or a friend of a friend, mm-hmm, or an aunt or a cousin who got sick and this person died. That's what happened back in 1918 during the great Spanish flu pandemic. And, you know, it's not over. You know, I want to get back to work as much as everybody else. I want my businesses to succeed. We are on indefinite hold, so I understand the angst. But do we put human life ahead of the economy? And that, I think we need that to comes down that to values.
In context, Paul, too. I think, you know, I'm looking at the chart. So thanks for that. Appreciate that. You know, drug overdoses, 67,000 people die of drug overdoses. Suicide, 50,000. Alcohol abuse, 88,000. Diabetes, 83,000. Cancer, 606,000. The thing is, these are not communicable diseases that you can catch by being 5 feet away from that person and them coughing once. And also, as to being on your last legs, I mean, if you have asthma, we're learning, and we had an expert on, and you addressed this with the expert, we're learning that obesity is an enormous risk factor.
Right.
But, I mean, are they saying that people that are obese on their last legs and they were going to die anyway within a week? We're learning that COVID-19 can kill people within 8 days of them contracting it. And to say, to liken COVID-19 to diabetes that kills 83,000 people a year, that is a manageable disease, is a preventable disease. Even when you get it, you can change the course and you can eradicate it by possibly losing weight or going on medication or having an insulin pump. The correlation to it's apples and oranges. It is absolutely apples. And I hope people who saw that chart understand that.
I hope so. I mean, we all get, you know, caught up in the culture wars, and this becomes another data point. But yeah, I mean, what you just said is absolutely true. And diabetes and suicide and drug overdoses, as horrific as they are, they don't overwhelm our healthcare system,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, they're not communicable. You can't catch it from another person. And it doesn't all happen in the span of a month or two.
That's right.
I hope cooler heads prevail. We have to find a way to thread the needle, and minds a lot smarter than ours will hopefully get together and figure out what is the right way to get back on track, open up the economy, maybe in waves, maybe regionally, younger people, people that have the antibodies. There's probably a smart way for America to get back to work that lowers the risk. But the risk, until we get a vaccine, the risk is never going to be zero.
Paul, think about this. Going back to that chart, because now you got me all riled up about the chart.
Sorry.
If the doctors, you know, Dr. Fauci or whomever said, we can cure cancer if everybody stays in their house for 2 months and we can eradicate it from our country or our world, you think people would do it?
I think a significant percentage of people would do it.
I think they would. I think if that were the case, if you were to stay put for, and I'm using the broad end of the spectrum here, 2 months, not just a month or 14 days really is what they were asking us to quarantine for. I know that our stay at home order has been extended now to May 4th. But if someone said to us, hey, Americans, you can cure cancer or cure diabetes or you can eradicate alcohol abuse, if everybody stays in their home or stays 6 feet away from everybody else for 2 months, I'm pretty sure people would do it, Paul. I can't imagine one person wants to be that person that says, nope, nope, we love alcoholism. I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to organize a kickball game in my park. I don't think people want diabetes around anymore. And I think that if given the choice, stay home for 2 months, again, that's the long term of the spectrum, to cure diabetes, cancer, drug overdoses, suicide, I think Americans would do it. So speaking to that chart, I think that if they were communicable, we would even work harder at stopping it.
This is, look, this is, we haven't been here for over a century. And I absolutely understand the angst, small business owners, anybody who's out of work right now, distraught. How do I pay the bills? I get that. I absolutely understand that. But what's an acceptable death toll?
No, don't say that. There
is it 50,000? Is it 100,000? 200,000? Should people be sacrificing their lives so we can get the economy up faster? There has to be a smart way to do this, but it's not going to appeal to everybody. No matter what we decide as a nation, there will be people who complain. So we're in uncharted water.
We are. And speaking of the economy and getting back up and running, in the next segment, we're going to speak with Peter Miles. Peter is the president of St. Croix Wealth Management. Let's if you're a small business owner, if you are concerned about the check you're getting or not checking, if you're how am I going to budget? How am I going to get through? We are going to talk with Peter. We want to at some point open the phones also. Paul and I have lots of questions, but we want to give you access. 651-989-9226. Peter Miles, the president of St. Croix Wealth Management, next on CCO.
Paul and Jordana. DJ Dave Josephson producing today, and we're trying to get you some helpful information. If you have a small business, odds are you're sweating this out, making payroll. I know exactly what that feels like, wondering if you will have the cash to be able to pay your people and keep your people. With us to talk about some steps that companies can and should be taking right now, Peter Miles, president of St. Croix Wealth Management, an independent financial advisor, securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, WFS, member FINRA SIPC. WFS is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of WFS. St. Croix Wealth Management is located in Oakdale, Minnesota. Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Paul and Jordana. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So what are you hearing from your clients? What is the number one concern out there right now, especially talking small business?
Well, it's a large concern making it through, you know, the coronavirus and our shutdown and people not visiting their businesses and not having that revenue come in. It's a bit scary time, and it's some unknowns. How long will this last, and how long can we go and make it still? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, have you heard from clients, small businesses in particular? There seem to be a lot of programs for small business loans and different kinds of loans. Have you heard about anybody applying for them? And is it an easy process? Like, how has it gone for them? And we want to open this up, of course, to small business owners at 651-989-9226 if they want to call in and have questions. But I think people are really concerned about what they can apply for, what they qualify for, and how that works for them. So what's been your experience?
Yeah, and I encourage everyone to go out to the SBA website, sba.gov, and they have some great content out there to view different programs that are available to business owners and working with their banks and their bankers at their banks on what can they apply for and get. And I also recommend talking to other financial advisors. We help advise our clients through that process and also their accountant. The process so far, from our experience, really hasn't been too bad. The application is not that long. It's not like applying for a commercial loan for a building or anything like that. It's mainly looking at what is your payroll, what that expense is, and then calculating how much they can apply for. And then, of course, if they are U.S. citizens on there, where's their business primarily located. So it's a pretty easy process. But unfortunately, it's not a quick process due to the amount of applications that are coming in.
Peter, are you hearing that some of the bigger banks especially are giving preferential treatment to existing customers? I mean, that's been circulating. And do you have any specific tips, any advice for owners of small businesses who are struggling, who aren't sure they can hang on? Should we be considering a line of credit? Or is that too risky even during this time?
Well, and kind of the first question there, banks are seeing a lot of applications come in, thousands of them in a day, I mean, lots of them. So trying to handle that volume, they weren't prepared for. This was all signed into place March 27th, the Coronavirus Aid Relief Economic Security Act. Otherwise known as the CARES Act, and it was signed the 27th, and then banks started taking applications the next Friday, next week, April 3rd, and trying to get operations put in place to handle that volume. You know, they're doing it. I feel they're doing a good job, but they had to do something very quickly and trying to manage through that. So I tell everyone to be patient. I would check with your local bank first. You already have a relationship there. They know you. They know your structure. So that may be a little bit easier to get through. But I'd also check at other banks and go online to their websites if they're an SBA lender, that get on their queue to get information from those banks and see which one opens up to get a loan process first.
Hey, Peter.
Some banks also. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Finish your thought, and then I'll ask a question.
Well, and some banks trying to manage that volume of loans coming through are either helping their current client base first, or they're saying, okay, only single owner businesses first, multiple owner partnerships. So they're pushing those off to a later date, just trying to flatten that curve of loans coming in.
Peter, is the money going to run out?
That's the magical question. There isn't a yes or no what's going on. They did go to try to get another $250 billion. Unfortunately, that got turned down today, but they're wanting more with it, not just that. And the whole process they was on, just that extra $250 billion for the PPP program. But, the government, the whole premises on the stimulus package is to get money out there into people's pockets. So, the government wants it so that once we get on the other side of the coronavirus, people have those resources and have those dollars to spend and really drive the economy and get it going. So mm-hmm. I think they'll stand behind it and keep that money flowing, but time will tell on that.
My understanding is that the administration is working with Congress right now to try to get another tranche, $250 to $350 billion earmarked for small business. It hasn't gone through yet, obviously, but they're working on it. They realize that what they had out there wasn't nearly enough to keep these companies going for any length of time and not enough to really be able to help all the companies out there that need help right now. Since we have you on the line, Peter, what are you telling your clients, just from a wealth management standpoint? I mean, the market was up again today. We've recovered some of the losses. My sense, and what do I know, is that we haven't necessarily tested the bottoms yet, that this might be a dead cat bounce. What do you think?
Well, if I had the crystal ball, we could all be retired and enjoying life. So,
we
don't have that crystal ball. And, are we at the have we hit the bottom? We can go back down again. Time will tell. Kind of watching the news that comes in. This is an event that's happening with a quick downturn in the market, which typically we're going to see a quick on the upside. We just need to get some good news coming in. We need to see get on the other side of the coronavirus curve, start to see some vaccination and treatments that are working. That will really be where we want to be. But long as you have a plan in place and you stay that course, that's the main thing. You know, what is the long-term goals and how are we going to get there? And working with your advisors and your planners on keeping that direction.
Great okay. advice. Peter, thank you so much. We really appreciate the time. Peter Miles, president of St. Croix Wealth Management, independent financial advisor. Peter, thank you for the time.
Thanks, Peter.
Well, thank you, and happy to answer any questions anytime. So thank you.
You got it.
All right.
The presidential press conference is usually right now, but we got word that the presidential press conference got moved to about 5:30, sometime in the 5 o'clock hour. That's why we asked Peter to bob and weave and come, and he was going to be our guest later in the show. So we're very grateful that he had the flexibility to join us. And remember, if you are a small business owner, an individual who's furloughed or lost your job, A, we want to hear your story, and B, we want to help you. We at WCCO have the power to reach out to super smart people who are willing to give us free advice. So email us. Here is my personal direct email, jordana.green@entercom.com. Send me your story. Tell me what's happening with your business. Tell me what's happening with your life. And we will try to see if we can get an expert to help you. We will share your story online, because what you are going through is probably what other Minnesotans, other Americans are going through. And it helps and it heals to share with the group. And Paul and I and David want to do that. And how can we help you? We feel as helpless as you do. I'm in my bedroom doing the show. Paul's in his basement. David does have to go into work every day. But, you know, how can we help you? Email us and tell us. Ask questions. You know, let us know, and we will try to do a segment about it.
Well said. Well said. When we come back, more headlines, more things that made us do a triple take as we await the president's COVID task force press conference. That's next. So, Jor and Paul and DJ, thank you for tuning in. With a son in the Navy, with a son in the military, maybe I'm hypersensitive to these kinds of stories, but we don't hear much about the impact on the military. We heard about the Theodore Roosevelt, the aircraft carrier Jordana, that was docked in Guam, and the commander basically was relieved of duty. Turns out he got COVID-19. Over 400 sailors on board that aircraft carrier came down with COVID-19. Secretary of the Navy winds up resigning. Anyway, and I certainly understand the need for secrecy. We don't want to be telling our enemies that we're not ready for combat. I mean, God forbid. But I found this interesting. At Newsweek, more than 150 military bases in 41 states across the nation have been hit by coronavirus. 150 military bases. The Pentagon earlier this week said that the armed forces had surpassed 3,000 cases. COVID-19 has halted all non-essential movement. It has interrupted recruiting and basic training and led to a virtual standstill in large-scale activity. It's also led to draconian secrecy, justified as necessary to preserve operational security. But that policy of secrecy is getting strong pushback from the communities that surround military bases, as well as lawmakers in Congress. The latest Defense Department data show that 2,120 men and women in uniform have tested positive for the COVID-19. Hardest hit the Navy, followed closely by the Army, then the Air Force, finally the Marine Corps. Certainly understand the need for secrecy. We don't want to give away secrets, but, you know, parents, I think, We should have a right to know how our sons and daughters are doing. And if they caught this thing, you would hope that there would be full transparency there.
Wow. Yeah.
Oy.
I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I understand you as a military parent, what you go through, worried about Brett. I mean, I can't imagine it having this add on to that. I found something fascinating here. Medtronic, local company, Medtronic has won FDA approval for lower cost ventilators. in the United States. Did you guys talk about this yesterday at all?
No, no.
No, okay. The demand, obviously, for ventilators is literally through the roof during this pandemic. The government is pushing those who make ventilators. And we talked with a group at the University of Minnesota, MacGyvering ventilators. We know students at MIT, are making like $100 ventilator, normally would go for a $10,000 machine. The U.S. has mandated car makers use facilities to produce the devices. Now, Medtronic has won FDA approval to market a lower cost ventilator, which is amazing. And I'm glad that it's a Minnesota company and they have figured out a way to do it. I know these governors are in bidding wars sometimes with companies overseas to be able to get ventilators to their state. So I'm grateful to be in a state where Medtronic can help solve the problem.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to root on the home team. Thank you, Medtronic. Mm-hmm. There's always a cheaper, faster, better way to do things. And wow. Companies are pivoting and coming up with the solutions we need at the right price point.
And if you missed our interview with Ellie Zweigbaum earlier in the show, she is a local mom and she is taking care of a very, very ill COVID-19 patient. Her 19-year-old son, Jacob, got it when he was told he had to go home from school. He goes to school at Berklee College of Music in Boston. And they were one of the first schools to close. And they said, that's it, we're closing up. He got on an airplane to come home. And 3 days later was very sick and has gotten progressively worse. He's not presenting with the fever that we're hearing about. He's presenting with abdominal issues, a lot of diarrhea, severe lethargy, and massive, massive headaches. He was supposed to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. He couldn't, even though I was texting with him this morning, he was feeling better. But then he couldn't even be upright to take our phone call. But Ellie did join us in the 3 o'clock hour. I urge you to go to radio.com and check out the rewind feature. We started at 3:20, but Paul and I did talk to her at length. And we asked Ellie how, while she has a very, very sick boy at home, he's 19, she's got two other sons and a husband and two dogs. I asked her how she is staying safe.
So I happen to be a total news junkie and I've been following this since December. And while no, I have not been hoarding toilet paper or anything like that, I definitely had been following this and making sure that, like, in my house over starting in like January, February, I was making sure that we had Clorox wipes, that we had bleach, that I had at least like 4 or 5 cans of Lysol. And then in March, when I started, when this lockdown kind of thing happened, I just started thinking, what would I need? Like, I'm not going to like get the masks. So like, what can we do? So one thing was, my sister's mother-in-law, for some reason, had 2 masks of the N95 mask that she dropped off at my house. So Jake has one and I have one. When I go to his room, this is kind of like what I've set up. I have like a table that's 6 feet from his room. And on that table, I have all the things I need for his vitals. I have a bottle of Clorox wipes. I have a bottle of rubbing alcohol. I have paper towels. I have rubber gloves. And what I do is I take a pair of ski goggles, I have my mask on, and then I have an old chef's coat that I put over my jacket, over my shirt. This is just when I take his vitals. And that's how I do it. And then when he comes to his door, I have a TV tray in front of his door, and he sits on a chair inside his room with his mask on. I take all his vitals. I have an ear thermometer and a forehead thermometer, so I don't have to like get in his mouth. And the 2 times that I've gone into his room to collect the garbage or to clean his bathroom, what I did is I took a stadium raincoat, those disposable ones, put it over my clothes, had the mask on, the ski goggles, the rubber gloves, cleaned everything up, had the doors open to the garage so that when I brought the stuff out, I could just, like, get it into the garbage can. And then after I got it into the garbage can, I removed my gloves inside out, sprayed the top of the garbage can down, any doorknobs. I'm just kind of OCD like that.
We then asked Ellie what her advice to other parents is.
There are a couple of things. One thing before I say the advice is that when I did speak to the specialist, and this was like a week ago, so we may have different data now, but he was telling me how 40% of the information they're getting back from China that we're not necessarily hearing on the news and that China is keeping from us is that 40% of the cases that they had were these gastrointestinal cases like Jacob has. And there could be a lot of people out there that don't even realize that that's what's going on. And they might be exposing themselves to others. They might be, like, still going outside. I've seen at the park, which is very upsetting, kids still playing baseball or basketball together. And it's really, really important that people understand that just because you might not have the symptoms, you might be a carrier, you might not realize that you have it, and you're passing it along to other people by being out. And one of the best things I've heard is the longer that you do not quarantine yourself, the longer we all are going to be quarantining ourselves. So it's not really fair for people to be exposing themselves. That's kind of what Jake wanted to let out. I mean, some of the other kids that he's gone to school with that also, you know, left from the Boston airport, came home. They had very similar symptoms. Some of them live in states where they've been able to be tested, and others have lived in states just like ours where they're suffering and going through all the same symptoms as Jake and can't get a test. And, you know, he really, really wants us to know that please stay home unless it's an emergency and you need to leave.
That was Ellie Zwagbaum talking about her son, Jacob, who is 19 years old, who apparently contracted the virus either while he was at college in Boston or on his trip back home after they closed his college in Boston. And we're going to check back in. As we finished the interview with Ellie, she and Jacob were on their way to actually go physically see a doctor. She checks in with a doctor every day while Jacob is quarantined. They were going to see, and I said, please check back in with us. We want to keep posted on your experience and of course, see how Jacob is. We are awaiting the presidential press conference, and we will bring that to you here on CCO. And also open the phones. How are you faring? Next on CCO.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.